Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Yes, Christmas time is indeed a-coming. Thanksgiving's now just a warm memory, and everyone is anticipating the coming of Christmas. Good morning, I'm Phil Shepard, and as one of Mark Burns' friends, I qualify to fill in for him this morning on Mark and Friends. He'll be back tomorrow. I'll be keeping close to the regular format this morning as we play some music and have our Memorization Monday reading from Robert Morgan's 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart. I know that many of you enjoy this and follow quite closely each week. Today's reading is going to take us into the first chapter of the Apostle Paul's epistle to the church at Rome, in other words, Romans 1. In fact, there's one little verse in Romans 1 that has changed the world. I'll tell you more about this after a couple of selections of music. The Christmas season is special to countless millions, and could I say possibly billions of people, for a number of reasons. The message of Christ's incarnation, his coming into the world to be our Savior. How about all the goodwill that it generates, and not the least of which the Christmas music that we hear. In fact, some stations have been playing it for weeks already. Well, we don't want to overdo it, but we don't want to lose out on what God can do through Christmas music. In fact, we're going to be playing more and more Christmas music now throughout Christmas. It's really our prayer that God will use this joyous time and help to kindle a new love, a fresh love for the Savior of the world. And maybe for the first time, a new love for him. That's what we pray. Well, here's a couple of songs I hope you'll enjoy. The first one is a Christmas song, and the second, well, it's not a Christmas song, but to some degree it does tie in, especially with our devotional reading today. And, well, rather than tell you who the singers are up front, I'm going to make you guess, at least for now.
O come, Emmanuel.
that saved a wretch like me. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious that grace appeared, the I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I
Hark the Herald Angels Sing and Amazing Grace. Are you stumped on who the singers were? Well, those of you who've listened to Glenn Campbell for many years knew that that was Glenn singing that Christmas song from, I think about 25 years ago, or maybe even just a little bit more. And the second selection was from a guy named Philip Webb. Philip Webb sang opera, but I tell you what, he can sing. And when I would be in a service with him or when he was leading the singing, everybody sang loud. It is so exhilarating in that great song, Amazing Grace. Well, we're going to read from Robert Morgan's 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart. And in fact, today it's verse number 79. It's Romans 1, 17, and some good content here today I'd like to share with you. For in it, God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. In memorizing Romans 1, 16 and 17, you have the whole book of Romans in digest form. These verses coming at the end of Paul's magnificent prologue to Romans, it summarizes the theme and the thesis of this book. Verses 16 and 17, well, they provide the essential vocabulary of the Christian dictionary. As you read these two verses, you want to underline these words. Gospel, that's the good news of Jesus Christ. The word God, the source of life, hope, forgiveness, and justification. Power, the omnipotence of heaven, is packed into this little message. Salvation, deliverance from sin, death, despair, and hell. Everyone, the scope of the gospel is universal in its offer. Believes, the condition and requirement for justification. Righteousness, the state of being, that is, being made right with God. Revealed, this message cannot be discovered from below. It has to be revealed from above. And finally, faith. This word, it occurs three times in verse 17, explaining the word believes in verse 16. In the gospel, Paul asserts God's righteousness is revealed. That is, he tells us how we can share his righteousness, that's God's righteousness, and be restored into a good standing with him. Martin Luther, the great reformer, suggested that the phrase from faith to faith means that justification is entirely by faith. It is by faith from first to last. As a final note, when we memorize the phrase, the righteous will live by faith, we're memorizing a text that occurs four times in the Bible. Did you know that? You may want to look it up. These are the three references, that is, Habakkuk 2:4, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. Let me read those one more time. Habakkuk 2:4, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. This phrase was Martin Luther's great Reformation verse. As a young monk, trying through asceticism and self-mortification to find peace with God, he was challenged by his mentor, Johann von Stupitz, to study and to teach the book of Romans. He didn't get very far before being stumped by verse 17, puzzling day after day over the meaning of the phrase, the righteousness of God. He finally realized it referred to the righteousness that God freely gives those who believe in him. We cannot be justified by our own merits. We're justified through faith on the basis of Christ's work on the cross. This insight lit up Luther's mind like a floodlight, and he began preaching it as the core of the gospel. Within a few years, the truth of Romans 1:17 swept over the world and changed the course of history. Martin Luther said the righteousness of God must not be understood as the righteousness by which me, a person, is righteous in himself, but as the righteousness by which we are made righteous, that is, to be justified by God. And this happens through faith in the gospel. Wow, that's a great teaching this morning on Romans 1:17. And to think that people for centuries lost sight of that. And Martin Luther, one of many, but at least the vocal one, who stood up and said, "We're missing out, folks. It's not our righteousness. It's not our good deeds. It's not all of the things that, that we could do to make us right with God. He loves us, and he wants to make us right with himself. And what we need to do is accept his provision for our salvation." And that's what we celebrate at this Christmas time, that provision, that gift of God to mankind, Jesus Christ. God gave of himself his only begotten Son and sent him into this world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I hope this helps you today to, just to think more and be thankful for the Christmas message and the fact that, yes, it takes faith, and our faith in him and what he has done for us is what makes us right with God. And you and I then bear and carry the righteousness of God upon us because of our faith in him. That's our reading today from 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert Morgan. Oh, before I lose all track of time here, I have 6 ways to prepare for the Christmas season. It's something I found on dayspring.com. The fact is, preparing for the holidays can be a lot of work, you know. In fact, during the next few weeks, your Christmas to-do list is probably going to grow into quite an outrageous poster-sized banner if it gets really, really long. Well, before you know it, your Christmas experience can turn into a frenzy of challenging tasks. Why not do it differently this year and get a head start on this season to ensure that this Christmas is about the celebration of Jesus Christ's birth? Here are 6 ways that you can prepare for Christmas while remembering the season and the real reason for the season. Number 1, add an Advent calendar to your nightly routine. An Advent calendar is a wonderful way to prepare your family for the celebration of the birth of Christ. If you're not sure how to create an Advent calendar, take a look online, and there's any number of suggestions out there. Also, number 2, decorate your Christmas tree as a family. Choose lights and ornaments that represent the true Christmas story. You'll be able to see them easily and remember the reason for the season all year long. Number 3, serve others. Why not start a card ministry? Organize a bake sale for your favorite charity. Deliver pre-cooked Christmas dinners or easy clean-up meals for your elderly friends. Or volunteer your time at a local food pantry. By serving others at Christmas, and frankly all year round, you're answering God's call for your life. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. Number 4 on our list of 6 ways to prepare for Christmas, decorate gradually. Slow down the process of putting your nativity scene out. By displaying your manger scene one piece at a time, you'll be able to truly focus on the involvement of each person in the first miraculous Christmas. Of course, topping it off on Christmas Day with the arrival of baby Jesus. Number 5, find time to sit quietly. Yes, try it. As the busyness of the holiday season approaches, set aside a designated time each day to fully focus on listening to God's voice. This will help you deepen your personal relationship with Jesus as we approach the celebration of His birth. And number 6, study the Christmas story. Try to read enlightening books about the amazing birth of Jesus Christ and read the story of Jesus' birth straight from God's Word with your family. Looking for materials to help your children and grandchildren, help them learn more about the birth of Christ. Well, 6 items there to help you prepare for the Christmas season. Once again, I found that on dayspring.com. Good, helpful suggestions for us as we seek to honor the Savior on His birth. Well, that's all for now for me, Phil Shepherd, sitting in for Mark Burns today on Mark and Friends. We trust you'll have a wonderful day, and look forward to Mark returning tomorrow and his usual fun time on Mark and Friends. Have a great day, and God bless you.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And a house.